if it were filled with the glory of God? We say the whole earth, and somehow that feels so big. Just imagine what your neighborhood would look like if it were filled with the glory, the light, the goodness of God. Imagine that. Imagine what it would look like if your home was filled with the glory of God. Thank you, God. That's what you call us to. That's what you call us to. We get to rise up and fill the whole earth with your glory. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for it. Turn up the wattage, God. Turn up the wattage on us, I pray. Fill us up with your power and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Woo. Wow. Wow. I just love thinking about that. I was doing a devotional about a year and a half ago, and it said, imagine what your area that you live in would look like if it were filled with the glory of God, and then write down a list of what you think that would look like. It was so fun to do that. You know what? There would not be one more stinking overdose from drugs. Not one more. Not one more. We were talking about it this morning, Stephanie and Ken and I. I'm fed up with that in this area. I'm fed up with it. I'm ready to wage war against it, you know? How do we wage war against it? With the shouts of our praises. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. He is the answer. Today, we're going to finish up our series on Build a Fire. And today, I've been so excited about speaking this message because today we're going to build a fire of joy. Yeah, that's good, right? Who needs a little bit of joy in the world, right? I do. You know, when I was growing up, I used to think that joy was like an accessory in the Christian world. It was like an accessory. It wasn't necessary. But it was nice when it happened. I'm going to dispel that myth today, bust that myth wide open. But before I do, I want to get your laughter warmed up, your ability to laugh warmed up. So we're going to start with just a few funny things because we need practice on laughing, okay? And because it's family, woo, my glasses are dirty. Because it's Family Worship Sunday, I thought I would start with some kid jokes, okay? Especially for the kids. These are a few things that kids have learned. Number one, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. Now, you teenagers in the room, I know what you're thinking, challenge accepted. No, do not come near my cat. I'm just saying, no. Well, you were thinking that, weren't you? Yeah, I know. I have teenagers. I know how they think. Here's another thing they've learned. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Right? Because it's like, right? No. Mm-mm. No. Number three, I learned this one for sure. If your brother hits you, don't hit him back. They always catch the second person. Did anybody else learn that when they were kids? Yeah. He would hit me, and then I would hit him back, and he would go, oh, Cindy hit me. Wait. You need the whole picture here. Number four, never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato because he's going to squish it. Never ask your brother. Now you know. Number five, you can't trust dogs to watch your food. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Number six, don't sneeze when someone is cutting your hair. We must learn these things, right? Megan, you got to make sure you tell people when you're cutting their hair, no sneezes. Number seven, puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Tic Tac. Number eight, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Yep, I tried that this week, not holding her, but I went to dust bust my bathroom, and I didn't know she was hiding in the closet. She loves my closet. And she came out and took off and left two marks on my toes with her claws. Like, she was not happy. It scared her. I didn't know she was back there. I wasn't trying to scare her. Doesn't work. Number 9, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in milk. Sorry. I know. Wish you could. And the last one, the best place to be when you are in sad is in grandma's lap. That's a good place. Okay, for the adults, I just had to throw some in for you. Here are my favorite top 10 bulletin bloopers. Ready? You might have heard these before. Number 1, this was found in a bulletin somewhere, not in our bulletin, somewhere else. The outreach committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church. Supposed to say affiliated, not afflicted. Yep. Number 2, evening massage, 6 p.m. Supposed to say message, not massage. I would have been there. Just saying. Number 3, this is one of my favorites. Low self-esteem support group will meet every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Your laughter's getting warmed up. I can feel it. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Misplacement of phrase there. If you have a child and don't know it, there's a problem. Number 5, during the absence of our pastor, now this is personally offensive to me, during the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. Does no one proof anymore? I'm just saying. This is a funny one too. Due to the rector's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. What? Number 7, don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. We'll take care of it. We'll finish that off. Number 8, remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and our community. Of should have been in, not of. Okay. And then number 9, after the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. I knew you guys would like that one. Yeah, I knew you would like that one. And the last one, got your laughter all warmed up. The cost for attending the prayer and fasting conference includes meals. Wait, what? Prayer and fasting conference shouldn't have meals. I'm just saying. Now you're all warmed up and you're ready to go. Here's the thing about joy. In Romans 14:17, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but God help us, we keep trying to make it about eating and drinking. It could have said, for the kingdom of God is not about rules. It's not about form. It's not about nice little dignified service. The kingdom of God is not about that stuff, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. You see, joy is not an accessory in the Christian life. It's 1/3 of the kingdom. It's an integral part of the kingdom. If you have a 3-legged stool and you have one leg missing, it's not going to be a very good stool, is it? You're going to fall. And yet many of us, we forget how important joy is. We forget. We get bogged down by the cares of life. We forget it's 1/3 of the kingdom of God. Honestly, I can tell you, growing up, my very, very, very favorite memories is hearing my siblings and my parents laugh, really laugh, like when there were tears rolling down their faces laughing. That's my very, very favorite memories. Another one of my favorite memories is when we would go on vacation together, because I would see the stress fall off of my dad and my mom. I would literally see it. Why do you think I like the beach so much? Because we went to the beach. I have these positive associations with going to the beach because I would see the stress just fall off of them. Joy is 1/3 of the kingdom of God. And yet we say, well, that would be nice if we could have some joy. That would be so nice. No, it's an integral part, and it's possible with God. It's not possible apart from him to have sustained joy, but it is possible with God. It's possible in him. The first point I want to make about joy, if you don't know, the book of Philippians is kind of known as the book of joy. It talks more about joy than any other book in the New Testament, and the size of it per capita has more words about joy than any other book. Per capita, if you know what I mean. Like Jeremiah talks more about joy, but it's a much bigger book. So all of my passages, most of my passages come from Philippians today. And the first thing I noticed about joy is that we're supposed to pray with joy. Now, I don't know how many of you have gone to prayer meetings before, but I can honestly say that not many of them were characterized by joy. It was more like weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? And we wonder why we can't get people to come out and pray.
I said times for prayer, people don't come out.
If they were characterized by joy, we might get more people coming out for prayer. But how is that possible? Now listen, don't crucify me here, okay? I understand that the scriptures also say weep with those who weep, and I believe in that. If you know me at all, you know that. But I love, one of the things I've loved over the past 5 years, I would say, especially in my Christian walk. Do you know you keep on growing no matter how long you've been a Christian? You keep on growing and learning. And one of the things God's really been weaving into my spirit over the last 5 years is how to pray with joy. And it's changed my prayer life. Before it was like, oh, God. It's not like that anymore. And we see this in Philippians 1:3-6. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. You see, the reason he was able to pray with joy for them is because he understood that they already accepted the partnership of the gospel, but also he was confident in what God would do inside of them. He was confident that God would not start something and then walk away. Some of us, we think, okay, God can start it, but I have to finish it. I have to help them along. I have to tell them the right things and make them read the right things and tell them to go to Azusa when it comes. And I loved Azusa, by the way. It was amazing. It was amazing. But we think it's all about us. We think we have to impose on other people. That's why we can't pray with joy. It's like this. Let's see. Matt, what does that say?
I can't read it.
Okay, let's try this. I can't tell where I'm at.
Troubles.
You see, what we do is we take a magnifying glass to our troubles. And that's why we can't pray with joy. We even light that sucker up. So we can, isn't that not, you need this? It's yours. No, you don't want to need it. I know what you mean. We take a magnifying glass to our troubles. And when you do that, it is really hard to pray with joy. Because your troubles are just big. They're just big. Now, what does that say? Jesus. Don't need a magnifying glass for that one, because Jesus is always bigger than our troubles. Always, always. That's one of the things I love about worship, is it gets my eyes off of my troubles and onto Jesus. But here's what's fun. You can even magnify Jesus. He just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The train of his robe keeps on filling up the temple. That's what happens. It just gets bigger. Now, here's what I want you to notice. You can't look at Jesus and the troubles at the same time. You got to choose. Troubles, Jesus. Troubles, Jesus. Troubles, Jesus. What do you want to look at? Jesus. I want to look at Jesus. That's how I can pray with joy. That's the only way I can pray with joy. Because whether you know it or not, I have lots of troubles in my life. Being up here does not exempt me. Oh, exemption, no trouble. Nope, doesn't work like that. Otherwise, the place would be full with people who want to preach, right? Doesn't work like that. I could make a long sermon out of that one. It's probably the opposite, but I'm not going to. Because you know what? I don't want to magnify my troubles. I want to magnify Jesus. The thing that we forget is that the joy in prayer comes only in the Lord. I used to get so irritated when I was a kid because all my life I heard that verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And for some reason, I took that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, out. And I thought it meant, my car broke down, hallelujah. I got diagnosed, woohoo. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You know, when you're kids, you know what doesn't make sense and what does make sense. You have a really high perception of, yeah, that makes sense. No, that's stupid. Oh, sorry, that's not a nice word. That's not a good, you know, that doesn't make sense. You have a high meter. You can tell it passes. So in my mind, my kid's mind, I'm like, well, I know the Bible tells me to do that, but it doesn't make sense. How can I be happy when I trip and fall in the school hallway and everybody laughs at me? How can I rejoice in that? It doesn't make sense. But if you put back the prepositional phrase where it belongs, in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Yep, you can do it always. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're dealing with. You can find a way to magnify Jesus and his amazing ability to help you with whatever trouble you're facing. His amazing ability to hold you in the middle of it. His amazing ability to provide for you in the middle of it. Number two, this is a good one. If you don't know how to spell it, it'll be on the screen if you're filling out the note page, so don't have a panic attack. Number two, be unoffendable with joy. Be unoffendable with joy. Philippians 1, 15 through 19 says this. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains even more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Most of what we get offended about doesn't matter. And this seems like a holy reason to get offended, doesn't it? Seems legit to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. This goes against every natural instinct. I mean, as a preacher, I can identify a little bit with Paul here. Not that I'm in jail, because I'm not, thank the Lord. But I can identify, if someone is preaching and they're preaching with bad motives, it's easy for me to get offended. Here's the raw, ugly truth. If someone's preaching with right motives and they're having success, it's still easy for me to get offended. Well, what are they doing that I'm not doing? I'm working hard. Oh. Keeping it real. Right? Paul made an intentional decision here. They're still preaching the gospel, whether they have good motives or not. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to choose to focus on the fact, take out your magnifying glass again, focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is being preached. I'm going to celebrate that. That's what I'm going to choose to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Wow. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Sometimes you have to choose to rejoice. Do you know the word rejoice actually means to create gladness? That's what it actually means. So when he said, "And I rejoice," he said, "I am making gladness." And I will continue to make gladness. He just decided that was the way it was going to be. That's what he decided, right? We have the same option. We have the same availability to us. Look, I'm not saying move into denial. I know there are difficult things. I get it. It comes back to this every time. It comes back to this. What are you going to magnify? I'm not saying pretend they don't exist. I'm saying make Jesus so much bigger than anything that you're facing that you find yourself glad. You find yourself. When we had communion at home, was that March or April we did that? I can't remember. But as a church, remember we had communion in our homes every day? It was so powerful to me. And one of the things that made it so powerful to me is that I would take communion and then I would offer up my prayer request. So the cross wasn't the finish line. The cross was the beginning line. Yes. Sometimes we start the reverse. We pray, 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 and then we end up at the cross. What if we end up at the finish line as our starting point? And then move from there. Then we can pray with joy and we can be unoffendable with joy. We can be unoffendable with joy. What if we lived unoffended? What if every time something came in to try to offend us, we said, "Nope. Not going to happen." I was telling Ron before the service, I'm like, you know, sometimes I get a sense for how important a message is in season by the amount of pushback I get before I preach. Well, this must be a super important message because I got a lot of pushback this week. It wasn't from any person. It was thoughts. It was spiritual. It was that. And I'm driving to church this morning and I'm like, well, I'm a little excited because this must be a big deal. This must be a really big deal. Joy, 1/3 of the kingdom of God. I think joy has the potential to break off chains, ours and everyone's around us, probably quicker than any other part of the kingdom. I think it has that much potential. Okay, here's one more thing we can do. I bring props usually when I have the kids in here, so this is a fun prop. We serve with joy. We serve with joy. Philippians 2:14-18 says, "Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God." And I want all of you to share that joy. There's that word again, joy, in relationship to serving. Here's how serving works. What's your name again? I'm sorry. Yes. Jane, can you help me? Would you mind helping me? Serving looks like this. Okay, take that. Now take it with the other hand. There you go. Serving is when you stand side by side with someone and then you take their hand. Look what happens. Lift it up high. But let go. Whoops. Not working together. Now we're working together. That's what happens.
What if I touch that hand?
Oh. Doesn't, yeah, any connection. Good question. Any connection. Even I can do it by myself. But it's better if you do it with somebody because you get joy, right? You get joy. Nope, doesn't work. Yep, has to be the other person. Thank you, Jaden, for your help. That's fun, huh? When you serve, it can be filled. By the way, I'm not giving away the prop today. Sometimes I give away the prop. I'm keeping that one for a future reference because it might be something I'm going to pull out again. It's called an energy stick, for those of you who want to know. Even if we're not going to take the time today, but even if we got 15 people in a circle and we were all holding hands, it would still work. If we get everybody in this room in a circle holding hands, it's going to work. That's how you can serve with joy. Paul said, I want your serving others to be like a liquid offering that's poured out with joy. That when you serve, how many of you know that when you serve someone, when you crawl outside of your own self and your own little world and you do something for someone else with no strings attached, something happens in here. You feel good, right? You feel joy when you do that. It's a God thing. He created us to want to be connected. He created us that way. That's what I was talking about earlier before the service. When I hear your shout to God, my shout gets better. When I hear your song to Jesus, my song gets more full because we're meant to be in community. We're meant to serve each other. It's hard sometimes to get past that hump, you know? It's hard because you're like, I don't want to. I got my own stuff I got to take care of. I don't want to. But the moment you cross over that threshold and make the decision to do it and you link hands with somebody else and you serve them, joy. Oh, joy, lights and sound. Like, that's fun, right? Trying to get to the microphone. Yeah, that's fun. That's what happens when you get connected with other people. Joy happens. When you serve someone, joy happens. That's the way God created us to be. If you're not serving in any capacity outside the building or inside the building, we encourage all our people to do something to serve inside the church and then serve in the community in some way. We encourage both of those. But if you're not serving, if there's no outlet for serving in your life, I challenge you to find a way to serve. Even when I was going through the darkest days of my life, I found a way to serve other people. For a while, I worked in a chiropractor's office. And it was like when I was in the worst of the worst of the worst time of my life. And I felt like the Lord said, when you walk through the door, check your baggage at the door and just serve the people that you're working with. Serve the people. And my boss one time, after about 3 weeks of working there, he was like, I know what you're dealing with right now. How do you come in all the time and you're so happy? I'm like, I just check my bags at the door. I pick them up again when I leave. I really have to. Life happens, you know. You can't just live in denial and pretend it's not happening. But I just made a decision to check my bags at the door. It was the most freeing. It was so good for me. It really was good for me. Some of us need to get a hold of living for a higher purpose than to make the buck. Look, I know we need to work hard. I work hard. I know we do. But if that's all you're living for, that is not enough to live for. Serve with joy. You will be amazed at how your life changes. Philippians 1:3, Paul says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice, don't take out the prep phrase, in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. What? Joy is so important that Paul says, I want to make sure you know. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that you know that you know that you know that you know how important joy is. Because joy actually safeguards your faith. That's a big deal. Philippians 4:4, here's the one I've been quoting a lot. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. The old King James Version that I grew up on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Some of you know the song. And again, I say rejoice. Remember that one? Yeah, you love it. And then the last verse I want to share with you today, Romans 15:13. Oh, this is a good one. This is so good. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He's the fountain of your hope. You can always go and get a drink of hope in Jesus. You can always go and get a drink of joy in Jesus. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell a joke, although I love jokes. If they're clean, bring them. Send me a joke. I love it. But I can always go to Jesus and find a drink of joy. I can always go to Jesus and find a drink of hope. I can always go to Jesus and find a drink of peace. No matter what I'm dealing with, no matter if school is starting back soon, I know I can still find hope and joy and peace. The righteousness and peace and joy is the kingdom of God. It's not about eating and drinking. It's not about rules. It's not about form. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what it's about. Anytime we mix anything else in there, it gets watered down at best, polluted at worst. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Some of you are sitting there, I believe, and you're saying, you know what? I need access to righteousness, peace, and joy. I need access to the kingdom of God in my life. It's very simple to get access. They're right there, through the cross. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, He gives us 100% access to His kingdom, His way of doing things, righteousness, peace, and joy. It's that simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you have been ushered into His kingdom. That's it. And so if you're sitting there today and you're like, I need access. Maybe I gained access at one point, but somewhere along the way, some stuff got put in there that messed me up a little bit. I need full access to the kingdom of God. If that's you, I'm going to call on your courage today. I'm not going to have us close our eyes or bow our heads. In fact, I want you to confess with your feet and your mouth that Jesus is Lord by standing up, if that's you. All right, Jaden, I love your courage. Mike, hallelujah. I need access to the kingdom of God, full access. Stay standing. We're going to pray together. If you want full access to the kingdom of God, full access. I don't want anything in my way. I don't want anything in my way of righteousness, peace, and joy. Repeat after me. God, I come to you through Jesus, your Son. I say that He is my Lord. And I believe it in my heart. And so I'm asking you for full access today. of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. Woo! Yeah, give me a high five, Daniel. All right. Yeah. All right. All right. Wow. This is what's available. This is what's available through Jesus. Well, I am so glad you came. I hope you're glad you came. Are you glad you came? Oh, whew. I was getting worried. Some of you looked questioning on that. I wanted to remind you that after service, immediately following service, we have a 10-minute party. Literally 10-minute party for any of you who might be somewhat new to Oak River. If today is your first day, you're invited. Or if you've been coming for a few weeks or months, but you've never come to a 10-minute party, love to have you come and join us in the 10-minute party. I'll just share a little bit more about the vision of Oak River. And that is, if you go out these double doors, across from the coat rack, on the left, that first room after you cross over the coat rack, there'll be people ushering there. So we'd love to have you join us for that. Kids, remember, if you're not new, that your treat is here in the bucket, not in the 10-minute party. Okay, just want to help you. I don't want to put that down because somebody's going to step on it. And then it wouldn't work anymore. The energy stick would be done, right? So your treat is here. Love to have you. Also, next month, we're starting a new series that you're going to love. It's called Crave. Crave. I can't wait to hear Dave's message next week. His title is Crave in Christ. So I believe that it's a timely message for today because we're all craving. We just don't know if we are, right? We're all craving. If you've ever been pregnant, you know what craving means. Even if you haven't, you know what craving means. So I encourage you to come back next week, and hopefully once school starts back, all these families will come back from vacation and we'll be all filled up again, right? Thanks for coming today. God, I pray a blessing over these precious, precious people. I thank you that your kingdom is about righteousness, peace, and joy. And I pray that you would fill up our joy meters, that we would just be filled up and overflowing with your joy as we leave this place today and as we go to work tomorrow, whatever is about on our plans for the week, that we would be filled up with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.